start getting creative, but you get creative after you build the walls. And the walls are things that you're not going to let bend. And so you need to put in first your number one priority. And so then that thing had to be worked into the other things, and you just had to start getting creative to make it happen.
Family life is essential. Jim and I are on a mission to help you live the best one. You'll hear personal stories from thought leaders of strengths and struggles with proven strategies to help you make the most of your 18 summers. I'm your co-host, Jamie Shields.
Hey, 18 Summer Strive, Jim and Jamie back here, and I'm excited for today. Our guest today is Jen Drummond. Jen, say hello to the whole team, gang.
Hey, gang. How are you guys? Hello, hello.
Now, Jen, you have lucky number 7 as part of the thing. You have accomplished the 7 second summits, as well as having 7 children. What an incredible balance of your 7s.
I know. 7s show up everywhere in my life, so I just decided to roll with it.
I love it. Tell us about how you got into, to scale to 7 summits. I know one person who's done that, and I've heard some of his stories. I mean, that is an intense accomplishment.
What got you? And I did the seconds.
Okay.
So the 7 summits would be Everest, Denali, like the highest point on each continent. When I got into a car accident in 2018, that woke me up to the fact that I do not get to choose when I die, but I get to choose how I live. And I was a stay-at-home mom to 7 children, which was a very big blessing, but it wasn't the best use of me. I love adult interaction and I love doing things outside of being a mother, but I limited myself on saying, hey, once my kids get to college, then I can do me. The car accident reminded me, you know what? We're going to have to figure out how to do this in parallel, because who knows when my last day is. And in fact, when I started stepping into me more, the whole family benefited. We started doing life in parallel. They might not have wanted to do homework. I didn't want to go work out. They didn't want to eat healthy. I didn't want to eat healthy. But we both needed to become who we wanted to become. 2019 was a big year of setting goals and deciding what my bucket list looked like and things I wanted to experience if my last day should come prematurely. And climbing a mountain was on that list. And I was training for a mountain named Ama Diblam, which is located in Nepal. It means the mother's necklace. It's the Paramount Pictures logo. Friends of mine that were into mountaineering are like, that's the mountain you need to do. I'm like, okay, I'm in. 2020 happens and COVID happens. And now all of a sudden I'm a stay-at-home mom again. That's a homeschool teacher. And so one day I was giving my son a pep talk, like, we do hard things. You've got this. And he looks at me and he goes, if we do hard things, why are you climbing a mountain called I'm a Dumb Blonde instead of a real mountain like Mount Everest?
Oh my gosh.
I know. I'm like, Ama Diblam, honey, not I'm a Dumb Blonde, but thank you. Awesome. I go, you finish your homework, we'll look at Everest. So he did, and we did. And I thought, you know what? If he thinks the hardest mountain in the world is Mount Everest, I'm going to climb it and show him that whatever Everest is, we can overcome it and we can summit that mountain. I hired a coach. Coach was like, yes, we can get you ready. The coach sends me a book to start training to be an uphill athlete. And in the front of the book, a lady got a Guinness World Record for doing something in the Alps. And I remember calling my coach saying, I could have done that. I have 7 children. I am the queen of suffering. Are you kidding me? My kids learned how to read on Guinness World Record books. If I got a Guinness World Record, I would be the coolest mom ever. And there is zero coolness about me right now. Like homeschooling, not working. Right? And so then my coach is like, okay, well, we'll find you something. I'm like, okay, fine. Calls me back a few weeks later and he's like, Jen, I think you should be the first woman to climb the 7 second summits. I'm like, what are those? I don't even know what that is. He goes, listen, it's the second highest point on each continent. It's only been done by one male. It hasn't been done by a female. It's harder than the first 7, which is why it hasn't been done yet. But think about it. 7 continents, 7 mountains, 7 children. It sounds like a jackpot.
I love it.
I'm like, it kind of does. Okay, I'm in. So don't worry that I haven't slept in a tent before. I'll make it work.
I was going to say, you've not even done 1 at this point, right?
And right.
7.
Yeah. I'm like, you know what? Dream big. It was the sequence of events of, okay, I'm alive. I'm here. I'm going to do something significant to show parents around the world the power of doing ourselves and our children and showing them a way that parenting doesn't limit, but inspires.
I love the second summits. You climbed all seven in 2 years?
Two and a half years. Yeah, two of them took twice.
Wow. Which one was that?
So K2, you've heard of K2. K2 is a monster. So K2, I failed the first time. And then Mount Logan, which is the second highest point in North America, our home base, took two times.
Okay. But you got it done.
I got it done. And here's the beauty of failure. It's the reality of life. And when I went to do K2 the first time, I was on the mountain ahead of my team because there's not a lot of space on K2. So I decided to go ahead to give tents enough room for everybody to climb. And we got a call on the radio and that one of my teammates died in an avalanche. Another one got hurt and some bad things happened. And so we were on the mountain. Another team kind of caught up to us and they're like, "Hey, Jen, your team's going down. Do you want to go up?" I remember thinking for a second, like, do I want to go up? No, I don't want to go up. My team is hurt and injured and one's dead. Like, I want my life 25 minutes ago. But even still, I don't want to summit and have this be my memory for the rest of my life. Like, we get to choose what memories we have. So I came home. The kids came home from camp a couple days later. And I remember them coming in the door and they're like, "Hey, Mom, did you summit? Did you summit?" I said, "No, but I had success." And they looked at me confused, like, "What do you mean?" I said, "Who we show up as people is way more important than anything we'll ever achieve. And I'm proud of myself on how I showed up because I put people over peaks. And your whole life, you're going to have this opportunity to put people in front of your pursuits or pursuits in front of people. And you need to decide what makes sense for you. But I can promise you that being on top of a mountain without the people that are most important to you gives zero significance to that climb."
Gosh, and that's such an exact example. But it's really the same thing that you teach, like climbing way high, fast on that entrepreneurial mountain. And then you turn around and your family's gone, you know, or disconnected. You had that exact experience, like literally, physically, real time.
Yeah, definitely.
And I feel like so much of your story is just that. Like, you take these experiences and you parallel, how can I bring this into my family life? Okay, what can I teach my children about this? And now, how have your seven children, it sounds as though they're your biggest cheerleaders, how have they experienced life differently through your experiences like this?
You know, I think a number of ways. I will say that one of the biggest lessons we've all learned is big mountains take big teams. So if you're going to have a big pursuit in your life, like build a big business, have a big family, do something epic, it's going to take a big team to make that happen. And learning how to build that team and connect with one another and empower one another. I remember when I was going to climb Everest, I had never been away from home that long, right? Like, I was going to be gone for 3 weeks. And to me, that sounded like forever. And especially for my kids, I'm like, how are they going to handle this? Am I being selfish? All those limiting beliefs of like all the things that are bad about the pursuit. Mm-hmm. Well, those are all options and anything we pursue, anything we do, but there's also other truths available to us if we're willing to look. And so I had lined up help for them at home. I did a ton of activities with them before I left. And one of the things I did is I went into the kids' school and I told the teachers, like, "Hey, I'm going to be gone for 3 weeks. I have everything set up, but I'm guessing because I'm gone, my kids might be a little off. They might need a little bit more grace because of this circumstance." And the teacher, bless her heart, goes to me, "You know what? I got an idea. Let's do a What's Your Everest campaign at school. Why don't you come in and teach these kids about goal setting? And everybody will have a little hiker with a flag and it'll be What's Their Everest? And they'll be able to write what their goal is. And we'll line the hallway with them. Then in the front of the school, we'll build this huge Everest. We'll put a little hiker there and we'll track you because I had a tracking device on me. And so then every day we can move you up and down the mountain depending on where you are. And nowadays at Everest, you have Wi-Fi. So I could zoom into the classrooms and answer questions on what I ate, where I pooped, and all those important things that kids care about. And so when I summited Everest, I did summit, my whole community summited, right? Like every one of those little kids, every family, everybody that was supporting me was on this journey. And so when I came home, my kids felt so seen, so loved, so empowered, so excited about this huge pursuit that when we're doing big things, I encourage us to include as many people as we can, because it benefits so many in so many ways that we are being selfish if we don't.
I think that's such a great perspective, because so often for me, I know I'll hide the pursuit because I think, well, what if it's a stupid pursuit? Or what if I get judged as like being self-centered for my pursuit? Or what if people think I can't do it? What if I don't do it? You know, and all of those things. And what a great example of, well, we could all do it together.
Yeah. And if you don't do it, I mean, that's a reality. So I went to climb K2. I didn't summit that first time. It is really fun to wave our flag at the top of the mountain. But the reality is we need to wave our flag on our entire journey, because it signals to the world where we are, what we need, and how we can help. Yeah. So this K2 story comes full circle when I go back in 2022. I got a phone call about 3 weeks before the expedition was going to start again. And they're like, hey, Jen, you coming back this year? I'm like, yes, it's part of my goal. Of course I'm coming back. They said, there's a Pakistani female that's been training to climb her country's prized peak. She'd be the first one. She doesn't have the gear or the resources to make it happen. Can you help? 100% I can help. So when I went back to climb K2 in 2022, I summited. 30 minutes later, the first Pakistani female stood on top of her country's prized peak. So cool. And that's because I was willing to wave my flag, my entire journey, failures, all of it, and say, here's where I am. Here's what I'm trying to do. How can I help? And how can you help me? And so much more happens when we can live in that frame of mind.
Yeah. Honestly, I think it's so much better that you had two failed attempts. Because one of the things we teach with 18 summers at our retreats and stuff, one of the biggest separations we found, I don't know if you've seen this, Jen, between a lot of parents and their kids is the Superman complex. Sometimes on purpose and other times by accident, made ourselves look invincible. And like, we want perfection. Well, we all know there's no perfect family. It's not about perfection. It's about overcoming imperfections or bridging imperfections. And the fact that you showed that, but then you kept going and then saying, hey, if I had made it the first time, I wouldn't have been able to have such an impact for someone else. That's real integration. That's a big word for us too, is you integrated the stories to see that. It wasn't just a highlight reel. It was like, no, I didn't get up there. There was no flag waving. But for them to see that, I think that's the example that they'll now follow. And just kudos to you, because I was going to ask when I was reading about all the things you've done, I'm like, how did she integrate her family to buy in? And it's because you showed the good, the bad, and the ugly. At least that's what I'm
100%. And I included them on the journey. So the nice thing about doing a physical challenge is my older son, who's 16, we could go to the gym together. We could lift together while I was training. When I have a busy schedule. I'm a mom. I'm a business owner. I'm an athlete. And so when my son had a soccer game, I was the mom on the sideline with a 12-inch step and a backpack full of water bottles going up and down the entire time he was playing the game. So he knew my pursuit was important, but so was his game. I didn't have enough time to be the mom that got to sit and watch the game. If I was going to show up, I had to be the mom that was moving and watch the game. I mean, he was embarrassed at first. And then thankfully, I live in the most supportive environment in the world. Some other moms joined me. Like, you know what? I'm sitting here for an hour and a half too. I should be working out. I'm like, grab a step. Let's do this.
That's awesome.
That's fun.
And now, you referenced earlier big mountains, big teams. Tell me about the team that supports you.
Oh, yeah. I have just amazing people. My parents are huge supporters. They fly out when I'm out of town. I have, you know, you have the teachers, you have the coaches, you have babysitters that help, you have the school that's behind you, you have the team on the mountain with you. There's so many people that make this thing work. The unique thing about climbing Everest these days is that it's highly commercialized. So back in the day, if you had to climb Everest, like even in the 80s, I'm in awe. I'm in pure awe that you got up this mountain, because they didn't have drones. Nowadays, when they're trying to navigate the ice field, they have a drone that can fly over and say, okay, nope, we can't go that way because the ladder's not wide enough to go over that crevasse. We're going to have to go back up this way. So they can make all those routes for you. Now I just need to walk up that route. And if you think about that in your own pursuits, as you start getting more established, you start shortcutting things for other people so they have energy to make more possible.
That's great.
Wow, that's phenomenal. What about your family as a team? How do you cultivate that team mentality amongst the kids?
We use the frame, what's your Everest? So all my kids have an Everest right now. And when they tell me what their Everest is, that means that's the biggest, hardest thing going on in their life. And that means that's how I can support them. That's the language that I know they need help. And they're doing something that's stretching them that requires support. So if you have language to use in your family to help you cue each other on what each other needs, it allows you to support each other the way that they need to be supported.
What about on the opposite end when you're talking about, and I'm sure with now the outreach that you're developing, there's a lot of parents coming to you and saying, I want to integrate like this too. I want to, first of all, be able to identify an Everest and also start to work towards it, but I don't want to abandon my family. It looks like you've been able to integrate that, Jen. How can I do that? What's the first step for me to be able to say, you know, I can have both. I can have an Everest and a strong family life. What would you say to people? Like, what's the first step they should take?
It's intention, right? You have to set yourself up with intention and clarity. So for example, when I knew I was climbing Everest, I looked at my calendar every week and I would put my family time in first. I put my business time in second and I'd give my schedule to my coach. And my coach would always be like, come on, Jen, like, how am I going to get you ready with what's left over? Yeah. And so then we would look at that calendar together and I'd be like, you know what? This Zoom call I can do while walking. I'll put my Fireflies note taker in there. I'll take all the notes and I can just listen. And then that is a way to overlap those two pieces. Soccer practice is going to have a 12-inch step, or that you just start getting creative, but you get creative after you build the walls. And the walls are things that you're not going to let bend. And so you need to put in first your number one priority, to me, is family. Two is business, because it's what supports everything that we're trying to do. And then three was Everest. And so then that thing had to be worked into the other things, and you just had to start getting creative to make it happen.
Got it. Love that. Love that.
And now your book, Breakproof, will be out January 2024.
Yes. Yeah. So it's in pre-order right now. So if anybody orders it now, you get a bunch of freebies like they do with books. But it's Breakproof, 7 strategies to build resilience and achieve your life goals, because those goals happen after we overcome. And so how do you overcome these things and those resilient strategies I share? And if you break at some point, which we do, or if you take a break, which is something that we proactively do, in those breaks, we get proof of what we need to repair, what we need to get better at, what we need to do so that we can continue on our pursuit or perhaps pivot in a different direction.
That's so good. The pivot. Sometimes that is the lesson, right?
Yes. Sometimes the goal isn't the goal, right? Mm-hmm. The goal is just getting you along the path to open up the door to another goal that fits better.
Love that.
And now how do you handle or how do you teach disappointment? Because I know when you didn't reach, I know that the end goal was that you did reach K2 after mm-hmm. the second try. And you did bring somebody else with you and it ended up better than you could have imagined. How do you coach your own children or others through that disappointment and how to pivot? Like you got to break, like you're saying, when you break, what do you do? How do you make something productive out of it?
One, you need to have success stories on speed dial. So what success have I had in my past that this something not working out actually ended up working out to be something bigger and better? We all have those stories, but we need to be intentional about storing them in our mind and being like, oh, okay, this was bad, but this is what happened. And so if that's happened to me before, it can happen to me again. And now it's my job to get creative and have this become more than what it was.
Yeah, we talk to our older boys a lot about how resiliency is a muscle. Our 17, almost 18-year-old had a horrific car accident this year as well. And he kept, his big thing was, but why, but why, but why, but why? You know, like there was no point to this accident. Like what is going on? And just that resilience. And I said, maybe it wasn't for you to learn again and again, but maybe somebody else needs to learn it again and again. And I think it had a big shakeup in his life as well. And I think that what doesn't break us, we have the opportunity to move toward purpose and towards, yeah. That's a great example. And I love that you talk about shifting from success to significance. Mm-hmm. And now yeah. balance of the top of the mountain and
the journey, yeah. right? The thing. I think when we're younger, we seek success, right? Mm-hmm. Because we think that's going to be the answer. And then you get to the top of the mountain and then you go to another mountain and another mountain and another mountain. And eventually you realize, okay, these mountaintops are going to keep coming. So I better learn how to appreciate and enjoy the journey and understand that in these pursuits, who we are and who we become is really the goal. And how we empower others along the way is where we really get to have impact.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was doing the quest, I'm like, okay, I'm this blonde mom from Utah that climbed the 7 second summit. Who cares? Mm-hmm. Right? The reality is, who cares is what have I done along that pursuit that's benefited others, that's inspired others, that's showed others that guess what? This doesn't fit my brain. What other things don't fit my brain that I can now become curious about and make something more out of?
Yeah. Well, I think one thing, Jen, you might not see is, you know, we have 5 kids and sometimes people look at you like, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, like it's like, oh,
like but it's a deficit.
What we were told is, oh, wait till you're just not going to venture stops and you're not that. And our family, one of our core values is adventure. And that has not stopped, whether they're 20 or two.
Almost increased because we have to leave a greater example. Yeah. So I feel like we've upped it.
And I think you've done that where you're still doing that, showing the advantage. And I just want to give a shout out because I know some listeners. What do you see as the advantage of a big family? Because I love to hear this from one big family to another. Like everyone's almost like, we feel so sorry for you. And we're like, don't feel sorry for
us. No, you have no idea. Like I feel sorry for you. Like I remember going through COVID and people are like, oh my gosh, how are you doing it? And I'm like, I don't know how you're doing it with one.
Right?
Just one.
Right. Like, I would die right now. Like, I have 7 humans that make me laugh, that like are silly, that are parenting each other, that we're in this together, that it's so much more entertaining and exciting than if it was one or none.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a great point right there. As you said, it takes a big team. And we see that now. I guess if we had, I don't even know how to say it. What would 5 be? Which word is that? Quintuplets? If we had 5 kids under the age of 3, that'd be tough. But since you see that team, it's been pretty cool to see our older boys really step in with the youngers. And we have that same effect in COVID. Like, there's a real unity there. There was a real camaraderie. And, you know, I haven't even thought about that. Yeah, so thanks for reminding me.
Oh, my son. So we got lucky. We were on our way to a ski race down in Idaho, and it got canceled. We were running late. So, of course, I was like angry that we're running late. Like, we're supposed to be down there by now. We haven't even left and blah, 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 blah. So we get to a gas station about 30 minutes from the house. And the ski race was 8 hours from the house. Okay. Oh. At the gas station, they say, hey, guess what? There's this thing called COVID. The race is canceled. We're sorry. Da, 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 da. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Thank goodness we didn't leave this morning like we were supposed to. Because yeah. I'd be in a car for 16 hours instead of an hour round trip, right? And so I'm at the gas station filling up. I get this news. I'm like, you know what? We're going to go to Hawaii early because it was close to spring break when it hit Park City. And so I found this house that had a pink fence. And I called my nanny and I'm like, hey, listen, I think this COVID thing's going to cancel school. Let's go to Hawaii and see what happens. I found a house with a pink fence. She's like, in. So we go home. We send the kids to school on Friday. We pack all their bags. We're waiting with our fingers and toes crossed that they're going to cancel school. They didn't end up doing it Friday night till like 7 p.m. I was like, oh my goodness, I jumped the gun. Saturday morning, we flew to Hawaii. We stayed at this house. Then everything shut down in Hawaii at the beginning of April. And the family that we rented from was like, hey, we just want this house to be lived in. You guys are welcome to stay if you want to. And so about around Easter, my son goes, what do we do for COVID-18? You know, COVID-20, I want to go to Brazil. Can we do Brazil for COVID-20? And I'm sitting there thinking, we are winning. Like, we are in a pandemic where everybody's locked in their house and can't do anything. And my kids think we won the lotto. Like, this is good.
I love that.
How fun. That's such a perspective. So what's next for you?
Yeah. I promised myself that I would not commit to anything for over a year. Because I think in society, we always are, what's next? What's next? And I'm trying to show my kids that we need to be present with where we are and celebrate that too, and not always be looking for the next thing. So we've been talking about different ideas and seeing what might make sense for our family to have the what's next, but allowing us to have the space to decide that intentionally.
I love that.
Revel in what you've created. Yes. I think that's amazing.
Well, we've done this on another episode. One of my mentors, I remember, taught me, he was coaching a young guy who sold his company for a good amount of money, and they were skiing together. And they're on the lift, and I remember him telling the story, and I'm thinking about this, and what do you think I should do next? What do you think you should do next? And he said to him, this is always stuck, and he said, before you figure out what's next, figure out what's important, and then you'll figure out what's next. And I try to go back to that as my anchoring system when we're throwing out the line again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe I pause. Do I want the line to go out this way? Do I want it to go a different direction? But yeah, I give you a lot of credit for that, because we can definitely get in that doing the next junkie phase, and that doesn't do us any good either.
So true.
Well, where can people learn more about you, Jen?
Yeah, please. So I have a website named jendrummond.com, and that's two N's for Jen. And on that site, you can get a link to my book. You can have a link to some of the challenges that I put out there, find my social media channels, and reach out on whatever channel is your favorite. I love, love, love connecting with people and just building the tribe.
Wow. I saw you have a part on there for parents, which I was really interested in looking at. So I think for our parents on here, that'd be a great resource.
It's super fun. So I put together a 40-day challenge, and every day you do something different to connect with your kids. And I'm such a to-do person. It was just a way for me to slow down and be intentional about doing something with them each day. We've done the challenge before I went on Every Mountain. So it was like 40 days of intentional connection before I left. And I'm done with mountains. And my kids are like, we're not done with the challenge, are we? And I said, no, we'll continue it. So this is the first time I've actually shared it with others. And I'm super excited because my kids like it even as much as I do.
Oh, that's precious. Well, thanks so much for being here today with us, Jen, and for just being such an inspiration.
Well, thank you guys.
We'll talk to you soon. Thanks again.
Thanks for joining the 18 Summers podcast and putting your family in priority position. Subscribe and leave a review and help other families just like you.